prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a favorite passage of many. Oftentimes we read that passage or think about that passage at like funeral times, right? Because it's talking about the Lord is my shepherd and he is my guide. See what it says there? It says in verse 3, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk, that's King James Version. When I memorize scripture as a child, I memorize it in King James. And so that just comes back. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I love that part. No matter what I go through, I don't have to be afraid because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. That's right. I love that passage. There's another passage that I want to read to you out of the book of John. It's a couple of verses out of John. Let me see. It's John chapter 16. Verses 7 and verse 13. I do have these on the screen. John chapter 16, verse 7 says this, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And then verse 13, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." This one that's coming, this counselor, is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was leaving, he said, "I must go. If I don't go, then I can't send the Holy Spirit to be with you." He was telling them basically this, where I've been with you all this time, now I'll be in you. And we'll never be apart. Guess what? That same Holy Spirit is present and in us today if we know Christ. Good stuff, good stuff. And what does he do? I love that last part of that verse. Let me turn back to what's right here. "And he will tell you what is yet to come." Those questions we ask, those questions we wonder about, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to give us those answers. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Most of the time, it's through the Word of God. Okay? So, this sermon today is for when we're up against a situation where we don't even know what the right thing to do is. Has anybody ever been there? Should I do this? Should I do that? I just don't know. Has you ever been in a quandary like that? A conundrum? What do I do? Is anybody else? Come on, show me. Okay, I'm not the only one. And sometimes, even when we really want to do God's will, we have a hard time understanding just what that is. Lots of things in the Bible are black or white. They're clear. Like this one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's pretty clear, right? Black and white. How about this one? Thou shalt not commit murder. Any gray area there? Okay, now wait a minute. I'm not talking about, remember last week, the my version where we write in the margins? Yeah, but what if my kids are really bad? You know? I mean, come on. You know, sometimes, have you ever thought about, sometimes we say things we don't mean, but let me tell you something. When God says something, he says exactly what he means. Every time. Every time. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to read those two verses to you. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What is our spiritual act of worship? Right here. Offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God makes it clear, right? His will. He makes His will very clear. Sometimes. Sometimes it's not always so clear. Last passage I'm going to read to you this morning is Ephesians chapter 1. And it's verse 9. And it says this, and He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Y'all get that? He made known to us the mystery of His will. Well, which is it? Did He make it known, or is it a mystery? That's part of that may not be so clear. Or maybe He just made it known that it's a mystery. You with me? Because sometimes we read and we go, wow, I get it, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. If it's made known, then it's no longer a mystery, right? So is God's will a mystery, or is it known? Yeah, both. Has anyone ever said to you, well, let me tell you something. The Bible's real clear about that. Anybody ever said that to you? Have you ever said that to somebody else? Preachers are good about that. The Bible's real clear about that. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes it's not always so clear. Like this. Honor your mother and your father. Clear? What about for the 14-year-old whose parents are divorced? They can't stand one another. The child is bounced back and forth. Different expectations, different standards. Sometimes even used as leverage in their war between each other, right? The child honors his mother in front of his father, has a hard time. Honors the father in front of the mother, things get difficult. Where's that verse in the Bible? Where's that verse for that situation? Or what about this? Train up a child in the way he should go. Right? Which way is that? Do I send him to college? What if they don't want to go to college? Do I make him go anyway? She says no. She wants to date this guy, and it's a guy that I don't really approve of. Should I let her? If I don't, will she rebel anyway? Dating behind my back? Will I end up with a grandchild before I'm ready for one? Where is that scenario? See, sometimes when we think something's pretty clear, all of a sudden life happens and it's not always so clear. I thank God that sometimes we can know His will. But I think we also have to acknowledge that we don't always know His ways. Am I right? We can know His will sometimes. But even when we know His will, we don't understand His ways. We as people have a hard time taking God's word and really accepting it as it's written. We complicate what He's made simple sometimes. And then we also try to simplify what He's made very complicated. And so we end up justifying an area of sin of our lives where God has clearly spoken to us. It identified that as sin. But we try to justify it by making it complex and adding our spin on it. That's where we write in our version of the Bible. Yeah, but this is my situation. I'm special. My situation is unique. We are the exception. And then we'll take an area of our life that's really complicated, and we're frustrated because God just is not showing us exactly what to do. The goal of this message is to get us to do the will of God. It's to get us to do the will of God that we do know, instead of putting all our energy and focus into the part of the will of God that we don't know. Because do we know all of God's will? All of God's plan for our life? Does anybody know all of that? No. But you know some of it. You know some of it. The Bible, some folks say, is life's guidebook. It'll guide us through life, showing us how to live a life that pleases God. And while I believe that to a certain degree, I also really believe that the Bible is not just a guide, but its primary purpose. The primary purpose of this book is not just to guide us, but I believe is to lead us closer to the guide. Psalm 23, who guides me? The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me. He guides me in paths of righteousness. This book, while it's useful in many, many things, its primary purpose is to lead us to the guide. I believe that God is not as interested in us knowing what to do as He is about us just knowing who He is. Because if we really know who He is, we will understand more and more what it is to do. Sometimes we just don't have the answers. We say, I don't have the answer to this. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this because I don't know what to do. I'm trying to understand this, and it's just not clear to me. What do I do? And sometimes I think God's saying, yeah, but you do have the answer to this other stuff. How come you're not doing that? Ouch. Yeah. Stepped on my own toes. I do know what God's plan is for me in some areas. I think He's saying, look, when you start doing that, what you already know to do, then I'll begin to show you some other things. Wow. Maybe we find ourselves between the black and white. Maybe you find yourself in that gray area this morning. You're facing a decision, a challenge in your life, and you're just kind of going, wow, I just don't understand. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you, it's not because God's not there. And it's not because He gets some kind of a grin out of just watching us stumble in the dark. He wants to draw us closer to Him. He wants us to search for Him. He wants us to declare our dependence on Him as our God, as our guide, as our shepherd, as our Savior, our sustainer, our comforter, our counselor. God has not called me to predict the path, but yet to depend on the light. Have you ever walked in the dark? Have you ever used a flashlight? Now, if you get one of those really big flashlights, you can see far, right? It seems like when the lights go out and I reach for a flashlight, it's the one that's always got, like, the battery's about to die. And I can see, like, from me to Trish, and that's far. That's as far as it'll go. I can see from here to there. As I step, the path becomes clearer further down the road, right? That's the way God is with us. God rarely shows us the path like a GPS, you know, you say, I'm here, take me to point B, and you plot it, and it draws that blue line. Rarely do we see that from God. Most of the time, God says this. I'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. Why is that? Did God create us to be dependent or independent? Did God create us to say, here's your plan, boom, I carry it out, I'm just going to watch you? He's very active in our lives, folks. He's very active in our lives. And He says, I've created you to depend on me because I'm the one in charge. I created you to give me honor, to give me praise, to be dependent upon me. And when you don't know which way to turn and you're walking in the right way, I'll show you where to turn. The only way I'll depend on the light is to be walking in some darkness. So let me tell you this. If you're walking in some darkness right now, good for you. Good for you. Because that's the only way we become dependent upon God. I mean, if we're in the light, do we need the flashlight? No. If we know everywhere to go, do we need God's direction? No. Now, sometimes we think we know. Sometimes we think we know where we're supposed to go, but it's not because we're listening to God. It's because we're using our mind, and we think we've got it figured out. And sometimes God's going, I'm telling you, but you're not listening. If God told us everything we needed to know, we'd no longer need Him. And listen to this. God does not create a life for you that is not dependent upon Him. He doesn't do it. He doesn't create a life for you that does not involve Him. He creates a life for you that is dependent upon Him because He gets the glory. John Kavanaugh. He was a very famous. He was famous. I'm looking at this next word. It's called an ethicist. That's why I did my... He's a famous ethicist, ethics person, okay? When he noted... when he went to Calcutta, John Kavanaugh, when he went to Calcutta, he was looking for Mother Teresa and more. He went for 3 months to work at the House of the Dying to find out how he could best spend the rest of his life. When he met Mother Teresa, he asked her to pray for him. "What do you want me to pray for?" she replied. And then he uttered the request that he had carried thousands of miles just to see her. He said, "Clarity. Pray that I have clarity." She looked him right smack in the face and said, "No, I will not do that." When he asked her why, she said, "Clarity is the last thing that you're clinging to and must let go of." When Kavanaugh said that she always seemed to have clarity, the very kind of clarity he was looking for, Mother Teresa just laughed and said, "I've never had clarity. What I have always had is trust. So I will pray this, that you trust God." Wow. Clarity is the last thing he was clinging to. Does anybody ever feel like that? Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I will not pray that we as a church figure it all out. I will not pray for you that you figure it all out. What I will pray is that we learn to trust God. Together, an individual, in our own lives. You ever heard the song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel"? Sometimes we think life is like that. But here's where we go with that. Sometimes we think, "Jesus, you just drive. I'm going to get in the back seat and take a nap. You just take care of it all, and I'm going to go get the back seat." We want to give Him all the responsibility of leading and guiding, but yet we're not even going to take part in following. We're just going to take a nap sometimes. That's the problem with that. When somebody is leading or guiding us, what do we have to do? It takes a response on our part, doesn't it? A couple weeks ago, we were at the C3 conference up in Grapevine. We're in this huge church, gigantic. And there were thousands of people there. And they kept the doors closed, and when it got time, they would open the doors, and we would all kind of rush in because, you know, we wanted to be closer to the front. Everybody seemed to want, there were a few Baptists that wanted to sit on the back, but most everybody wanted to be in the front. And Rebecca and I, we had been in the back under the balcony for all conference long, but we really wanted to get in the front, so we got there early. We were waiting in line, and it was just like thousands of people crowded around us. Well, Rebecca's not real tall. And so she's like this tall, and the people are standing all around her. She can't see anything except me. And let me tell you what, she latched onto my belt loop with both hands, I think. I'm surprised it's still attached, but she latched onto it. And when those doors opened, we went. Boom. Shooting down that aisle, we found us a good seat. But let me tell you something. Rebecca couldn't see where we were going. She couldn't see around us. She couldn't see where we were in the sanctuary. She couldn't see it. All she knew was she had my belt loop. And she knew that she had my belt loop, kept me in within reach and within sight, we would end up at a good place. That'll preach. Sometimes we need to be like that. We need to be like that with God. We need to latch on to Him and not worry so much about the scenery and not worry so much about, but God, where are we going next? Where are we going next? Tell me the plan. Sometimes we just need to follow. Hang on and let Him lead you and you'll end up in a good place. You ever had to follow somebody maybe through downtown Houston to get to somewhere that you don't know where you're going? But you got to follow somebody else? What do you do? What do you do when you're driving your car, that person in front of you is leading you? What do? You stay close. You don't let anybody else cut between you, do you? That's right. You stay close. You keep them in sight. And back in the old days, you had CB radios. Breaker 19, buddy, where you at? And now we're driving and we're texting each other, which is, don't do that. But we keep, when we want to follow something, we keep it close, right? Why would our relationship with God be any different? Why would our relationship be any different? We need to stay close. We need to stay within touch. We need to grab on, latch on. Stay with the guide, and we'll get to a good place. Sometimes we're driving down through that traffic, and we say, I don't know where he's going, but if I don't stay on his tail, I'm lost. We need to stay close, stay focused, stay close to the guide. I'm going to close with a few statements. If God gave us what we needed, and He just did that, He just gave us everything that we needed, we would never know Him as the Israelites knew Him, as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. Do you ever think about that? If we weren't ever in need of something and had to depend on Him to provide, we would never know Him as Jehovah Jireh. If God always let the battle be easy, we would never know Him as Jehovah Nisi. God is my victory. We would never depend on Him. If God pulled us out of every difficult situation, we would never know Him as Jehovah Shiloh, the Prince of Peace. You see, if we never knew turmoil, we wouldn't know what peace was. If God never let you get sick, you would never know Him as Jehovah Rapha. God is my healer. Isn't that right? My friend, God is not calling you to know all the answers. But He's calling you to know Him. He's saying to you, you don't have to know the GPS. I've got it. Just trust me, and we'll get there. Follow me. Stay with me. Stay in touch. I'll get you there. That's what He's saying to us this morning. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. It means I don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in paths of righteousness. For my sake? No, for His sake. He guides us. Sometimes we need to stop trying to be the guide. Right? That's right. Sometimes we think we can manipulate and control God. Then who have we made God? Wow. Think of the implications of that. We think we can control God. Who's really God? God is telling you this morning to trust Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him as your Savior and as your Lord. I would invite you to do that this very morning. Maybe you've never trusted Him and followed Him in believer's baptism. I would invite you to begin that process today. Trust Him. Maybe you are a believer And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but I've been trying to figure it all out all this time. And it's not working. Trust Him. There has to be a level of trust there. If you know all the answers, no trust is needed. But God says, trust me. Maybe you need to come back to that relationship of trust. Back to that relationship of dependency upon His guidance and His leadership, which is the way He designed it from the get-go. Maybe that you're a visitor with us this morning and you want to join this body of believers here at Dolan Baptist Church. Whatever God is dealing with you this morning, I would urge you to respond to that. I'm not going to beg and plead because this is not about me. I pray that you would respond because God does require action. Last Sunday we talked about that. God requires a response of you. No response is a response. Yeah, it's no. That's right. That's what that no response means. Don't say no to God. Whatever God's calling you or leading you in, say yes and trust Him. And I promise you, He'll take you to a good place. Let's stand and we're going to sing. This is your time.